Hello, you're listening to Off the Clock Arts and Culture Coverage on KBIA. I'm Janet Saidi. You may know him as a blind ragtime musician, but if that's all you know about the Missouri musician known as Blind Boone, you might have a lot to learn. It turns out John William Boone was one of the first to blend European classical styles with folk music. He took African-American and Afro-Caribbean folk styles and put them in classical forms, then performed the pieces in concert halls. He's perhaps not so much a ragtime musician as he is an early innovator that created some of the musical building blocks that led to not only ragtime but blues and jazz. And Blind Boone did all of this as an African-American musician during a time of institutionalized racism. Boone partnered with his manager, a Columbia African-American businessman named John Lang, and the two rose above the stereotypical caricatures that limited African-American artists at the time to create a unique partnership in music. Merit Not Sympathy Wins, The Life and Times of Blind Boone, is a book that brings all these elements together into a sort of reconsideration of the music and life of Blind Boone. Co-edited by Mary Barile and Chris Montgomery, the book also includes a brief biography of Boone by one of his contemporaries, an African-American writer named Margaret Fuel Cuther, who performed in Boone's concert company. Barile and Montgomery joined us recently in studio for a conversation about the life and times of Blind Boone. Here's Mary Barile.
I'm always amazed at how much of his music has lasted, just because he composed at a time when, you know, racism was rampant. Even though he was a popular performer, it didn't negate the fact that he was black. He couldn't stay at the hotels. They couldn't ride in certain railroad trains, cars. So he faced this constantly. One of the things he composed a lot of is things like cakewalks. What we would today, what was referred to then as coon songs. Of course, they were quite offensive and racist, but they were part of their time, and they were part of Boone's performances. Unfortunately, what happens is then we, later on as historians, look at them, we find them completely repugnant and racist, and we don't even want to talk about them. But we have to go into that music to see who Boone was, how he worked, who were the people, what was the community he worked within. Ragtime is not simple, even though, you know, we're used to hearing some of the really popular tunes, even with Joplin. It's very complex music. And then, of course, we make the jump to the classical and to the more, to the salon music. So we're looking at a body of music here that Boone produced that by all means needs a great deal more attention paid to it.
I think if Boone had chosen to focus on some of the plantation songs and coon songs, though, these were hugely popular at the time and were really the only way a lot of black entertainers in those days could become popular. But they chose a more difficult route in a way, and both of them spoke frequently about elevating the race, and I believe especially John Lang was a devotee of Booker T. Washington.
And because it is interesting to remember, this is all happening before the jazz era of the 1930s in Kansas City, mm-hmm. right? So he didn't even have those examples.
Well, and you were looking at between Boone and Scott Joplin. I mean, both, you know, there's another book that should be done. You know, Joplin was writing operas, you know, Tremonisha, some ballets that we do not have the music for. They would tour, both men. They had a certain tour that they would follow through the Midwest, upper Midwest. Boone may have visited Europe, right? I found references to his music in Australia and New Zealand. So he was that famous at a time when, you know, Lord, he couldn't even go into the theaters through the front door. Both Boone and John Lang from the beginning treated what they did as professional, as important, as artistic, with a great deal of self-respect and respect for their audiences. You know, we are people, we have talent, we have skills, we're going to live with dignity, and we're going to do it our way, And it took years to build up this process of going to towns and, you know, putting out information and drawing audiences. But they were successful.
And this is where Merit Not Sympathy comes into play, because that became their logo. They wanted to be sure people knew that it wasn't a curiosity show and that these were professional musicians. Both Boone and Lang were philanthropists. They were willing to give money to local churches, black and white, and were influential people in the community. In Columbia, Boone would play for some of the
church fundraisers quite frequently.
And help them raise money. He said he put more rooftops on Columbia churches than anyone else.
And was therefore allowed to be a member
of the First Christian Church. And when he died, E.W. Stevens, a very prominent member in the white community in Columbia, advocated that some monument be built to Boone, and it never happened, which I think is a shame because he's the sort of person that Columbia should embrace and hold up. He was born under incredibly different circumstances. There's no indication he ever felt self-pity, and he went on using his talents and this wonderful partnership with John Lang to become a national celebrity, a national talent, and a national treasure, really.
That's Chris Montgomery and Mary Boreal talking about the book they co-edited, Merit Not Sympathy Wins, The Life and Times of Blind Boone. They're giving a talk Saturday, February 2nd at the State Historical Society of Missouri here on MU campus. And you can also hear them at the Missouri History Museum in St. Louis on Sunday, February 17th and Monday, February 18th. All proceeds from the book go to the Blind Boone Home Foundation. The music you're hearing is the music of Blind Boone, courtesy of blindboonehome.com. That's it for Off the Clock today. Have a great weekend. I'm Janet Saidi. Thank you for listening.